There was an American writer who died in, I believe it was 1994, Louis Grizzard. You may have read some of his humorous work over the years. He was did a lot of commentary on Southern culture. And he once said that where he was from, there's a big difference between the words naked and naked. He said, naked means you don't have any clothes on. Naked means you don't have any clothes on and you're up to something. You know, the truth is, none of us are born completely naked. Maybe physically we are, but biologically and culturally, we come draped in the clothes of our ancestors and their culture and their way of life. So you and I are an amalgamation of the blood and soil of the generations of ancestors and their way of life that went before you. There's an old Norse term called, in a person called hamingja, and that's the force that you bring with you in life from your parents and their parents and their parents and on down the line, and the spirit and the strength and the honor and the reputation, or lack thereof, that comes expressed in that as you go through life. And when you get to a certain age, if you were like me, you start to realize that you carry with you your family's and your culture's ways. It just becomes a part of you. I remember the first time I looked in the mirror and thought to myself, oh my gosh, you look like your mother. And then there was that time a man approached me in town one day and said, you're a cop, right? And I said, no, I'm not, but my brother was. And that was even more frightening that I looked like my brother. But most of us have a sense of pride in our family and our heritage. We have pictures on the wall going back several generations, and we love to hear and tell stories of how they overcame struggles and hardships, and also those funny stories in our families that make all our families human. And of course, there's always the skeletons in the closet too. You know, if you look far and wide enough in your family tree, there's an occasional horse thief that will show up on the family tree. You'll find something that you're not pleased with as you go back. I remember once my mom and my aunt and I were doing some genealogical work in my mother's home county on my mother's maternal roots in a local library. And my dyed-in-the-wool Baptist mother discovered that it was her maternal forebears who were the first ones who brought Catholicism into the county. And so you can imagine what she thought about that. She was not too thrilled. But on a more serious note, there are some family situations that people are in, and recent family heritage that people are not that are not healthy and that are not happy parts of our lives. They might even be embarrassing parts, or they might even anger us when we think about those things. Perhaps there is an abusive parent, an alcoholic parent, or a negligent parent, or maybe just a whole dysfunctional family at some point. And maybe you yourself followed that model that you were given by your family. And maybe you made some bad choices based on that were injurious to yourself and to others and to the ones that you love. Maybe you would just as well have been born naked and not with all that family heritage that you are clothed in, that you inherited, and that maybe you began to practice in your life. But you know, one of the great truths of the scriptures, one of the golden nuggets of the good news of Jesus Christ that comes alive when you read the New Testament, is that there is a place that you can go to get a new pair of clothes. You can walk into this place with your damaged and soiled clothes of your life, and then you can shed them and you can walk out a new man or a new woman, clothed in that beautiful garb of Christ the King who was born to us on that first Christmas. And it's not just outerwear, but it's a newness that transforms and reshapes Every part of us, down to the deepest part of our of who you are. You know, you remember the story when Lazarus came out of the grave, when Jesus showed up at the grave and told him to come forth. The first thing that Jesus said after that was, remove his grave clothes. Because old Lazarus was now a new man. He was a man who was now alive. Those clothes didn't fit him anymore. And our passage in Colossians chapter 3 picks up with this theme when our writer begins by calling you, the reader, and me, the reader. He calls you holy and beloved. Whatever you were before Christ came into your life, now you are nothing less than holy and beloved. Now let that sink in for a moment. Whatever you've done in your life, whatever heritage and messed up situations you come from, and we all at some level come from messed up situations, now in Christ, the Father looks at you and calls you holy and beloved. That's amazing that that transformation could take place in our lives. Maybe you've never really heard that or felt that in your life, but when Christ begins the transformation of your life, he declares without any equivocation, you are worth it. That's a powerful notion to let sink in and accept for your life. Now you have the power and the freedom to clothe yourself with a new look that reflects a new heart. And what is this new look? Well, our writer says this. He says, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, and humility, and gentleness, and patience. This is your new look, born of a new heart. Maybe that's not the way of your recent ancestors. Maybe that's not the way of your present family situation. And maybe that's not the look of your present life, but in Christ, you become a new person. And now you walk with a compassionate heart. You have that ability now because Christ lives in you. You have the ability to walk as a kind person, to walk gently in the world, and always being patient in the face of adversity and of disappointment. And then the writer goes on and says this. He says, but don't forget there's one thread that holds all of those things together, that holds the garb together. And he says, that is love. He says, and over all these virtues, the virtues of compassion and kindness and gentleness and patience, he says, over all those virtues, put on love, because that binds them all together in perfect unity. And how does this new look manifest itself in your life? You say, okay, I got the clothes now. What will it look like? Well, we already mentioned compassion and gentleness and patience and kindness. But then the writer goes on to something a little more transformative, because this gets to the heart of the matter, especially when we're considering the clothing that we came with from our family and from our heritage. Some of it good, some of it not so good, some of it maybe completely dysfunctional, depending on your background. He says, here's how it manifests. First, it changes how you relate to others. How you relate to your family and your friends and your coworkers and your parents and so on. You see, forgiveness, he uses that scary word forgiveness. He says that now becomes a central part of how you relate to those who are closest to you. Because unfortunately, it's those who are closest to us who actually tend to hurt us the most. Now we can choose bitterness. And we can choose resentfulness as a way of life, but them some ugly clothes. That's one ugly pair of clothes you got on when you're wearing resentfulness and a lack of forgiveness. Or, the writer implies, that we can accept the shortcomings of those in our lives. We can choose to understand the source of their weakness and our own, and we can practice forgiveness. Our writer says this, bear with each other. Bear with each other the load of life. And forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. And now you're thinking, man, I hope I kept my receipt. I don't want these clothes after all. But forgiveness is an essential part of the new look, of the new heart. The Lord gave you a set of new clothes. Allow Him some space to do the same for those in your life. Now, your way, your look, is held together by that strong, enduring thread of love, and it will manifest itself not only as forgiveness, but also, our writer says, fully and powerfully, it will manifest itself as peace. Clothed in Christ, where you go, there will be peace. That's the deal. That when we take on the garb of Christ, which isn't just an outer layer, but we become the clothes, we become the righteousness of Christ, the robe of Christ laid around us. As we walk in Christ, where we go, there will be peace. Is there peace where you go? Now, there's going to be confrontations where we need to rebuke and correct someone in love. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just generally, where you go, is there peace? Or when you walk in a room, does an argument begin? And you always say, well, it's their problem. But our writer says, no, you got a new pair of clothes that reflect a new heart, and it will manifest itself as forgiveness, and it will manifest itself as peace. It's a peace that's given to you, not something that you can sort of engender up in yourself and say, oh, I'm going to be peaceful today, I am going to be peaceful, I am going to be peaceful, and you'll be peaceful. No, it's something that's given to you by Christ. In fact, when Christ was leaving the disciples in John 14, it says, as he was departing, he said this, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And he will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is the gift that comes with the new clothes. I had a hand-me-down jacket that my uncle once gave me, and I had hung it up in the closet and hadn't worn it for, I was a teenager at the time, and I tried not to get into suits as often as I could as a teenager, and one time I put it on, and the first time I put it on, I reached into the pocket, and there was a $20 bill in there. Now that creates a crisis of conscience, doesn't it? But I called him, and I said, there was a $20 bill in here, and he said, oh, I meant for that to be. It was a gift. It came with the clothes. Of course, he knew I hadn't worn the suit for 6 months because it took me 6 months to call him, but I just never thought about that. Peace comes as a gift with the new look because it goes all the way down to a transformed heart. So you look different on the inside and on the out, and it manifests itself as peace. And then remember, Jesus says, so don't let your hearts be troubled anymore. Don't be afraid. It's fear that's often driving us in our old clothes. Our old clothes, yeah, they have that bitterness and resentful look to them, but it's often founded in fear. That we don't realize how often we're motivated and how often we move in the world and relate to others because we're fearful and we're afraid and we're anxious. for ourselves. But he says, you will no longer live in fear and anxiety with these new clothes of Christ. Because in your clothes, though they're bound together by love and they manifest themselves as peace, they are also clothes that bring you power. This new look in Christ brings you power to overcome fear and to get beyond anxiety in life. Paul says in Ephesians 6:11, and he says this with full confidence, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Every day I run into those wiles of the devil. And man, I better have the armor of God on. Otherwise, I start reflecting that old set of clothes and I get resentful and I get angry and I get bitter and I get scared. But with these new clothes, because you're not afraid or you're not anxious anymore, because Christ is driving your life, he has clothed you, you can now be confident in this power of the Lord who's living in you, and you're able to face the world. Now you can pull up the blinds and get out of bed. Shed your night clothes and get out into the world. Because you've got a new set of clothes of power and overcoming. And now you can go into the world and know that you have a new look. Whatever you did or whatever you said in the past, you don't look like that anymore. Whatever your world, your inheritance that came to you in the world, that doesn't matter anymore. Because you got a new pair of shoes all the way up to your hat. And there's this majestic garb of Christ that's around you. And whatever you do, our writer says, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. And then there's one more thing finally that our writer says. He says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. He's talking about having a song in your heart. You ever put on a new set of clothes and then all of a sudden you just want to start whistling? I didn't know I could look so good. And you get a song in your heart. Well, imagine the song in your heart if you're draped in the glory of the living God. And so our writer says, let a song be in your heart. And when you're speaking to one another, even if it's admonishing, let it be a joyful song with gratitude in your hearts. Because you look good, girl. You look dapper, young man. Because now you look like Jesus. Let that richly dwell in you. Now let that sink in other words. And walk down the street with a song in your heart and a psalm in your soul and a song from the Spirit of God that sings gratitude. And we're told we'll be richly blessed. The new set of clothes is, I said there's a place where you can go for that. And the place that you go is to the one who created the whole project, who created the whole universe, who created all of history, who created your world, who created your family, who created you, and that is Jesus Christ. The word of Christ, the power of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. If If you will bring those things into your heart, no matter what your heritage, no matter what your background, no matter what dysfunction, no matter what dysfunction in your own life, if you bring Christ into your heart, the scriptures say He will give you a robe of righteousness. He will give you a new set of clothes. And it changes everything. Let's pray together. Father, how good to be in your house this morning and hear these words from Colossians. That as we've gone through the closet looking for a pair of clothes that works for us, the search is over because now we have found the robe of righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we put it on. May we wear it with confidence. May we let it transform us to the deepest part of our hearts. That we may walk with joy, and where we go, there may be peace. And we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.